Mark chapter 6. As I was driving up, I felt how appropriate the message was for the day, because today and for the next Lord's Day during this month, we'll be talking about our Lord Jesus during his off hours, and this is Labor Day. And it wasn't by design, it just happened that way. And so this month, the will of God, we'll be talking about our Lord Jesus during his off hours. And so let's start at verse 30 in the Gospel of Mark. I'm reading from the 1901 version. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. And they told him all things whatsoever they had done and whatsoever they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desert place apart. And the people saw them going, and many knew them. And they ran together there on foot from all the cities, and out went them. And he came forth and saw a great multitude, and he had compassion on them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for every part of the Word of God. We confess that some of it we skim over so quickly at times, thinking that it is not great importance. But then, a particular problem arises in our life, and that portion that seems so insignificant, it becomes of great importance to us. And so we pray that, as the fragments were gathered up and nothing was lost, that we may be able to profit from the fragments of the Word of God, because these are nourishing, and thy Son himself said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost, and they are same as the whole that fed the multitude. And so from this portion that we have read this morning, we desire to be instructed. Teach us the whole counsel of God, we pray. Prepare our hearts to receive the Scriptures. Our Lord, let us know fields that are hard and unprepared. How can the seed get in? And then, thou, O God, must give the increase, we look to thee. And we would be clean to speak thy word and to hear it. We confess our sins, be faithful and just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The background to this portion that we read is one of the saddest in the New Testament, because a dear friend of the Lord Jesus, because John the Baptist was his friend, as well as Lazarus was his friend, had been put to death at the caprice of a lewd woman. And it says that when he was beheaded, the head was given to this wicked woman, but it says his disciples came and buried the corpse. And if you read all the accounts and the feeding of the 5,000 and the events that lead up to it are given us in all four Gospels, you will find that the Lord Jesus goes away for two reasons. The reason that I read you in Mark's Gospel, and also if you read in Matthew's Gospel, you will see that because of the putting to death of John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, in wisdom, does not run in the face of danger. He is not afraid of danger. But God nowhere tells us to tempt him, to cast ourselves off a building, and unless a miracle is necessary, the Lord Jesus avoids danger. When God tells him to speak to the multitudes, and they would cast him over the brow of the city, a miracle is performed, and he passes through their midst, ordinary circumstances, the Lord Jesus uses natural means. But in this case, the Lord Jesus uses discretion as he goes away. And connected in Mark's Gospel with this burying the sadness of John the Baptist, we have also the account of the return of his own personal disciples, the apostles, and they come to the Lord Jesus, and it says, they tell him all things that they had done and that they had taught. This is delightful. He sent them out in Mark chapter 6, and he empowered them not only to preach the word effectually, but also to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And they go forth with this newly bestowed power, and they find that the power imparted upon them is real. They're not like the prophets of Baal. They're crying out and attempting to get power from God, and it does not come forth. But they have power from God, and now they have preached, and they have seen that their preaching, as well as the Savior's preaching, touches the hearts of the multitude. And they have seen that a man in sickness can be ministered to by their miraculous powers imparted by the Lord Jesus. And now they come back thrilled, and they tell the Lord Jesus all that they have done and all that they have preached. Now, I know something about this. I can remember when I was first saved, some of the young men that had been influential in leading me to the Lord had told me how to witness, had given a few verses of scripture, but before I went out to try this on people, I said to them, let me practice a little bit on you. And so they said, all right, what do you want me to be? I said, well, I want you to be an atheist this time. He said, all right, I'm an atheist, I'll never believe. And so I would try to bring some scriptures to mind to deal with an atheist. And then here is a sinner of a sorrowful heart. And so this brother, who knew all of these scriptures, would sit down and listen to me stumble and go through all of my working to go out and minister to the Lord. And so here are the disciples, and they come back now and are telling the greatest of preachers the sermons that they preach, and he listened to them. And the one who had performed so many miracles, they say, Lord, let me tell you the way that I healed this man. Why, he was a leper, and I healed him. And they came back and told the Lord Jesus all that they had done and all that they had spoken. And he listened to them. That is delightful. I wonder if you ever do that. Have you got anything that you can tell the Lord Jesus that you have done for him, the power? What did you tell him about last week that you've done for the Lord? You witnessed for the Lord last week. You visited the sick. You healed the brokenhearted. Perhaps that is the reason you have so little to say for the Lord. You have so little that you've done for the Lord. But they had much that they could tell the Lord because he sent them forth on a mission, and they went out and did what the Lord had told them, and they came back to report to him. It's so good. At the end of the day, whether you have been successful or whether you have been without success, speak to the Lord about these things. It says that the Savior, when he had wrought his mightiest miracles and the cities repented not, it said he still prayed to the Father. He said, I thank thee, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And so whether there was success or whether there was lack of success, the Lord Jesus talked these things over to his Father. And the disciples talked these things over with their master. And so think of your life. What do you have to talk over with the Lord? Now, isn't it sad? Are your children saved? Are your relatives saved? Do you know the Word of God? Are you satisfied with the spiritual condition of the meeting here at Faith Bible Fellowship? Then thank God for it. But if not, tell God about it. And the visitation you've done, the preaching that you've done, the witnessing that you've done, go and talk to the Lord Jesus about it. This is one of your privileges. It says now, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and may find help in time of need. That is what the throne of grace is for. Not only the forgiveness of sin and the asking to be restored to fellowship, but going to the Lord Jesus and telling Him the joy that you have had as being privileged to be engaged in the work of speaking the truth of God to lost sinners, healing the brokenhearted. It is yours as well as His. And as the disciple came to Him on earth, now we go to Him in prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And so think, why do you pray so little? Why is it that it's so difficult for you to talk to the Lord? They came back to Him with joy. And there is something wrong when we come to meetings reluctantly, as if it were a laborious duty. What a weariness it is. And it is not always the preacher that causes that. There is something in your spirit that's wrong. And here they come with joy to the Lord Jesus to talk over their service for the Lord. If you hunger for the Word, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, who can keep you away from hearing the Word of God? But if there is that reluctance, then say, it is either the preacher or it is my spiritual condition. And on occasion, it may be your spiritual condition. There is such a thing as talking to the Lord. Now, listen to the way that it is expressed. I purposely left it out. It says that the disciples gathered themselves together unto the Lord. Now, that's especially appropriate for us who gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. But here, it says they gathered themselves together unto the Lord. This is a collective thing. There is one thing to go to God in prayer as an individual, but we collectively gather ourselves unto the Lord. And that is the joy that we have in the assemblies of gathering ourselves to the Lord. And we, as a royal and a holy priesthood, are privileged to speak to the Lord about these things. I thank God for every fundamental evangelical work that is not as we are. I thank God for them all. Let us never say, forbid them to cast out demons as John did. The Savior said, forbid them not. But I say this, they do not have that great joy of gathering themselves together for worship as well as the speaking of confidences to the Lord. And you remember that. That is what prayer meetings are for. That is when we can talk to the Lord. Because this is a joyful occasion. But on occasion, they have to come to the Lord and ask Him, why were we not able to cast out those demons? And so we can go to the Lord in prayer and say, why are we powerless? Or if we have been successful, we can go to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. We gather ourselves together under the Lord in time of need to ask for things. But at the same time, there is that gathering together under the Lord, not to ask for anything, but to simply to tell the Lord about this greatness. It says, resist, rejoice not that the demons are touching unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. And so go at the presence of God and thank Him indeed for the power that He's given you, but then simply thank Him that your name is written in heaven, that you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that He is the light of the world and not only is shined into your darkened heart, but He is the light of the world and you may follow Him and not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And our honor and our joy and our privilege is to gather ourselves together unto the Lord. Think of that. Think of the world. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, I do not want you to sorrow even as the rest who have no hope. But when John the Baptist died, his own disciples and the apostles can come to the Lord Jesus and can speak to Him. They have someone to whom they can go in their sorrow. Do you feel free to go to the Lord in your sorrow? And at the same time, do you know about the balm of Gilead? The question is asked, is there no balm in Gilead? And some people are unaware of it, that we have a Savior. That is it, thank God, they that are sick have need of a physician. Thank God for all that earthly physicians can do. But there is the balm of Gilead, and that is yours by going into the presence of the Lord. And so if a friend has died, you need not sorrow as the rest who have no hope. But the Lord Jesus is there, and you may gather yourself with others unto him and talk about the early demise of John the Baptist. How is this, Lord? Why would such a thing happen? The Lord Jesus is the only one who can give satisfaction to such a question as that. Why would sinful men be allowed to lay hands upon the prophet that is without peer in all the world? The Lord Jesus is able to tell them and comfort their hearts. What he said to them, we are not told. But they gathered themselves unto him, and this would be a topic of the conversation, what men had done to faithful workers in the vineyard, and what they as faithful workers in the vineyard had done. And the Lord Jesus listened to all of those things, all that they had to say, and all that they did. The Savior is a good listener, and so go and tell him about those things. This is why the Savior has taken the throne of grace. But when they come and talk to him for a while, he says this unto them, and you listen carefully. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. I purposely read from the Gospel of Mark because even though similar accounts are in Matthew and in Luke and John, you nowhere find this invitation that Christ gives in the other Gospels. But here, and I'm so thankful for it, he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And he tells them why. Because they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so the Lord Jesus gives them this exhortation. Now, at times, it is only with great hesitation I ever tell people such things as this. And I've already told you that it's only found in one of the accounts. Perhaps the Lord had to hide it there because we are so ready to come apart and rest for a while. If it were in four accounts, why, how we would take advantage of it. But God has nestled it here in this passage in the Gospel of Mark, and it is there for all of you who are ceaselessly working for the Lord, are burning yourselves out, and have a guilt-stricken conscience if you rest for one moment. And there are some people like that. And so I'm bringing this to your attention. Perhaps the exhortation that most of you need is this. Son, go work today in my vineyard. That's what most of God's people need. But once in a while, there are some who have labored like these. And when they come back, the Lord Jesus says to them, not continue working. You haven't done enough. But he says, when there is no leisure so much as to eat, people are coming and going. And the Lord Jesus says, come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now, think on these words. The Lord Jesus himself spoke. And if the Lord Jesus speaks them, you may accept them. No matter that you have heard other scriptures like, son, go work today. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. All of these scriptures are in our minds, and we feel so guilty when we rest for a while. But the same Savior who spoke the other scriptures spoke this scripture. And you have to listen to both of the scriptures. And so in this instance, it is, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For those who have been laboriously serving our Lord. And so this is what comes to mind. And listen to it. It's one of the most precious aspects of the character of our Savior revealed to us in his days on earth, in the flesh and in the city. Our Savior's sensitivity to the needs and feelings of men. Listen, our Savior's sensitivity to the needs and feelings of men. I find that some Christians are oblivious to anybody's needs. Now, I tell you this, it used to be years ago when in the assemblies, there was this individual exercise of heart that seemed to be disappearing. I'm just telling you that. But there used to be an individual exercise of heart. But there seems to be a lack of sensitivity and awareness of the needs and feelings of others, but it was never so with our Savior. Notice, I said, not needs and a synonymous term, the feelings of men, but the needs of the outward physical material needs and the feelings of the inward emotion, the anxious, troubled, broken hearts that are inward, and nobody seems to know about them other than the Lord. Even the outward needs that should be so apparent to the eye. Having eyes, do you not see not only the things of the Word of God, but the needs that exist round about you, as it says in Galatians 6. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You say, our opportunity, what opportunity? You're not aware, but the Lord Jesus was. And he looked at the disciples. He listened to them. And he said, you need rest. When is the last time that you thought about somebody else? The Lord Jesus always did. Now, let me show you. The Savior, in a little while, is not only going to teach the people, but he is going to ask Philip, where are we going to get food for these people? He knew that they were hungry, you see. They had been with him for a long time, and the Savior said, they're going to be hungry. And so if there were physical needs, the Savior said, they need food, and it is our responsibility to give it to them. Now, the suggestion of the disciples were, send them to the villages while it's time so that they can get something to eat. That's quite in order. I'm not able to feed the 5,000. But you must remember that even if you're having a conference with a teacher as the Lord Jesus, the time comes when people get hungry, and the Savior is aware of it. And so he is aware of the physical need. Now, at the same time, he is aware of the spiritual inward need. He sees a funeral procession coming down the road. The widow's main son has died. And the Lord Jesus stops the funeral procession. And he says to the woman, weep not. I told you he was sensitive to the feelings of men and women as well. And not only that, but when Jairus' daughter was at the point of death and had died, and the report was, send the master away, trouble him no more, your daughter is dead, the Lord Jesus said to them, fear not, only believe. When there is an anxious heart, the Lord Jesus meets that need. When there is a broken, sorrowful heart, the Lord Jesus meets that need. The Savior is sensitive. He is aware of the needs and feelings of men. And that is what is so important. It says he was made in all things like unto his brethren, and he has been tempted in all things like unto his brethren, sin apart. And so he's aware of these things. And so I exhort us, let us look on the needs of others and be aware that people get tired and they need rest. And the Lord Jesus tells them that he is the one who authorizes it. It's just like this. And I tell this without shame. Some women, as well as men, somehow feel that marital responsibilities somehow are wrong. But the Word of God says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But some people have guilt-ridden consciences about this. God says it is undefiled. And some people laboring for the Lord from sun up to sundown, and they are falling to pieces physically. And the Lord says, you need rest. The Lord says, he speaks in one area, and he speaks in another area. And that is your authority. And so if you say to the Lord, no, no, I can't do this. You're like Peter. The Savior says, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. The Lord says to Peter, why, Timothy, I'm not going to do that. Nothing as clean as ever entered my mouth. You see, you know more about what you should eat and what the Lord should do for you than the Lord himself. And so the Lord says to you, you need rest. But Lord, understand that the Savior knows more about perishing souls than you do. He is the Son that the Father sent from heaven. And this is a marvel. But look, if if I leave these perishing multitudes, if I go and hide myself, why, in that period of time, why, the statistics tell us that every minute, so many hundreds are dying. Why, some of these people may die and never have a chance to hear the gospel again. The Savior said, come ye yourselves apart and rest for a while. It is His responsibility to see that light shineth unto all men. And I can assure you that none of these are going to die, that those who have been working for the Savior have not had an opportunity to witness to, and they would have been saved had He witnessed to them, had they worked a little longer. That is something that the Word of God never teaches. It says in John 1, He liketh every man coming into the world, every man that had his chance. So do not worry about those dying. Yes, if you are slothful and God would send you, the Lord in a way will hold you responsible for these things. But if you have served the Savior, He says, come apart and rest for a while. And so He knows that we need rest. It says this in Psalm 103, He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Do you know that? Do you know your frame? We forget it, right? I'm thinking of David, who as a young man went out to fight Goliath, and with a sling and a smooth stone, he could tell that giant, knock his brains out with a sling. The stone hits him in the forehead, and he falls down. That is a young man. But later on, some relatives of the giant are fighting David. And it says that David, as he grew older, waxed faint. And then one of his soldiers had to come and kill this relative of the giant. He came to David's aid. Can you imagine that? He who in his youth had been able to kill giants, now, as he gets older, is waxing faint. And younger men must come to his aid. And they do. What a glory it would have been for the Philistines had they put David to death. And so I must recognize this, that there are young men who can do things for me. That is one of the glories of old age. You can start telling people to do things for you. I remember as a young man carrying all my bags, carrying big arms full of books. And now, when I see a strong young man, I say, son, come over here. I say, will you sit up and talk a carton of books and take it in the house? Thank you, son. Because I know what happens if you move the wrong way, if your back goes out of joint. I know all of those things, but David forgot. And you forget. And people have nervous breakdowns. They are irritable. They can't get on with their family. Why? I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. And the Lord didn't tell you to do it that much. Yes. We must be faithful, but at the same time, not so faithful that when the Savior says, come ye yourselves apart and rest for a while, that you refuse to do what the Savior says. There are times of rest. And I will tell you this, that Charles Dickens wrote an entire novel about those that would be always working and never relaxing. Man knows it, and the Lord Jesus knew it. And are you aware that one of the commandments is, 6 days shall man labor, and he speaks of a day of rest. That was imposed on man, whether he liked it or not. But I want more money. I must, God says, I insist that there is a day of rest, that there is a seventh year of rest, that there is a year of jubilee. God said, the earth must rest, and man must rest, and you forget it. And therefore, we must pace ourselves, and we must realize that what we were able to do as young men with a sling, in our old age, we are not able to do, and we need the assistance of young men, and that is what they're able to do. And those that ministered in the tabernacle only were permitted to serve from 30 to 50. For long preparation, and then 20 years of glorious service. And then God says, now you retire. Then they can teach the other young men. Prepare them. And then the other young men have strength. Some of the things in the dismantling of the tabernacle, they were heavy to be borne. And older people cannot do it. And so this is what God would teach us. He teaches us that there are some things that young people can do. He says in the first epistle of John, He said, I write unto you young men because you are strong. and the Word of God abided in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And he writes unto the Father, because you know him who is from the beginning. And so there is work that strong young men can do, and there is work that older men can do, and it mentions strength for the young man, and it mentions contemplation and awareness of the person of Christ in the Father. And so expect that of the Father, but expect labor of the young man. This is what the Savior is teaching us. Come ye yourselves apart and rest for a while. And so they gather themselves together to him. He hears them. He looks at their physical condition, and he says, you need rest. Now, I know it. You're not aware of this, but so often I used to speak at conferences, and I go like I do now, and when I would get through or speaking at the conference, I would come home, and I would be sick, actually sick, for a week. Why? I just had failed to come apart and rest, because I would probably be studying into the wee hours of the night, and then you get up and you're preaching during the day, and people are coming to you asking questions of you hour after hour, and I thank God. But what I should have done was this, and remember, it is valid, you can go and hide, because the Lord said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and it can be translated a lonely place, and rest for a while. I say you have to hide, because when the Lord was going to take them for a little vacation, the people saw him. They said, we know where he's going. And they got there before he did. Isn't that terrible? And so it may be, though, if you look at it, you can't quite tell. It may be that the Lord had hidden a little while, because it says he came forth unto them. It may be that he had been able to hide with the disciples a little while. It makes no difference. But this is the next lesson. The Lord gives this instruction. And when the multitudes come, we see again the magnanimous spirit, the tireless labor of our Savior for those that are genuinely concerned about their soul's condition. And it says that when he went with the disciples to rest for a while, it says he saw the multitudes, and he had compassion on them, because they were as sheep not having the shepherd. And it says they came to him, and he preached the word of God to them, and he healed them. And so, this is not canceling out what he said the first time. But, if you are successful in hiding the first time, and they find you, then preach to them, and heal them, and hide yourself more perfectly the second time, and get that little vacation, because this is what the Lord told you to do. All right, listen carefully to what he said. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Then we need to get away from people on occasion. In this instance, and I would like to think it was to us as individuals, but here the Lord is simply telling those that are in his full-time service to get away from those whom they are serving. And he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place for a while and rest. And so he's calling them together. And so this retreat that they're having, it may be very good. The Lord is saying that. At times, I may take a step further, and I suggest this. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, even man and wife, even though the twain are one flesh, it says at times with consent, husband and wife are to be apart from one another, that they may spend time with God alone. You see the intimacy of that? But we are one. The Word of God says, by consent, part yourselves, because at times you need to be alone with God. At times you need to be alone away from those whom you serve. And in this instance, if you work for a company, then you need to be away from the company for which you work. If you serve the Lord's people, then you need to be away from the Lord's people whom you serve. And if you are married, even though you love your wife devotedly, there are times when she and you with consent need to be alone with the Lord. We need these things, and the Lord Jesus recognizes them. And that is why I'm telling you what the Lord Jesus did during his off hours. Because the Lord Jesus took time off, and he taught others to take time off. And what is difficult is this, that at times we are constantly taking time off and not laboring. But this is for those who genuinely need time off. And so he tells them to do this. And so this is what he says. And it shows that the Savior is aware of, let me use this word, the dichotomous nature of man. That means that he's not only material, but he is spiritual as well. Satan tried to trip up the Lord in the temptation and told him to turn those stones into bread, but the Savior said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice, there is bread, and there is bread for the soul. Man shall not live by bread alone. The Savior did not say that man does not live by bread. He fed them bread and fishes. But he says, you do not live by bread alone. But the other side is this. While Satan was emphasizing, do something for the body, the Lord Jesus said, there is also the soul. And here the disciples are doing things for the soul, and the Lord Jesus said, you also have a body. You see the balance of the Savior. Satan would corrupt it and twist it, and he would have you to be resting all the time. Give us more rest period. We are working too much for God. I venture to say that that isn't so. That's why the temptation, I did not read the scripture, son, on Labor Day, go work today on thy vineyard. You have rested long enough. But the Savior understands that you have spirit and you have a body, and at times your spirit and your emotions and your inward feelings need resting and comforting from God. And at times that can only come when your body is rested. When you can rest your body and can commune with the Lord, and the Savior is in total agreement. And so, as Timothy, who was an abstainer, he had to be instructed by Paul, be no longer a drink of water, but drink a little wine, for by stomach sick and by often infirmities. Do you see these conscientious people? What about my testimony? You are a sick man. Drink a little wine for your stomach sick and your often infirmities. The Lord said it, you understand. Now, he is not teaching abstinence, he's not teaching drunkenness. But when the need is there, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Souls are perishing. The Lord says, I know souls are perishing. I know everyone that's perishing. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. He understands all these things. But it's a balanced life that we need to live. And so Christians no longer feel guilty in any of these areas because the Lord is aware of it. He's sensitive to the needs and feelings of men, and he himself says to you, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you remember our frame. You know that we are dust. Are you not he who said that we live 70 and 10? Are you not he who at one time permitted man to live nigh unto 1,000 years, reduced that time, and now how much shorter is the longevity of man? We're thankful that you know this, our God. And so let us no longer feel guilty unless we are those who are constantly resting and not working. But our Father, if our bodies are weary, then let us, on the authority of the Lord Jesus, come apart and rest for a while in a lonely place, away from those, even those we love, thy Son has bidden, and then refresh our soul, our God. Let us know how difficult it is simply to live in this present evil world, and so give us rest. Thy Son said to those who are lost, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. And so give rest of soul the lost, and to us Christians who are so weary at times, and give us physical rest as well, and let others be aware of this need in our lives. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.